I want to go in and get started with our Bible study tonight. It's the one that I had planned to give a week ago, but with all the changes and the announcements that was made with regard to the feast, I postponed it till this week. But I want to begin with the question. Have you ever heard the song, "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother," by the Hollies? He ain't heavy, he's my brother. Let me read you the lyrics of this particular song. Says this, it says, the road is long with many a winding turns that leads us to who knows where, but I'm strong, strong enough to carry him. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. So on we go. His welfare is my concern. No burden is he to bear. We'll get there. For I know he would not encumber me. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. If I'm laden at all, I'm laden with sadness that everyone's heart isn't filled with the gladness of love for one another. It's a long, long road from which there is no return. While we're on our way to there, why not share? And the road, it doesn't weigh me down at all. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. He's my brother. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. He ain't heavy. Have you ever had a burden in your life? And I mean a heavy burden, a tough burden. You know, I'm not speaking about a difficulty. We all have difficulties from time to time. Most of us have some type of difficulty probably almost every day of our life. But I'm speaking about a heavy burden, a heavy burden. But whatever the scale is for what you call a burden, because a burden can be defined differently for different individuals. A heavy burden for one might be considered a light burden for someone else. So whatever the scale is that you measure for a burden, can you remember a heavy, heavy burden that you had to bear? It may be a burden that you had to bear alone. Do you remember a burden where you cried and cried and prayed and prayed? Maybe it was a burden of sickness where you were so ill that you could probably neither cry and really probably not even pray. Have you had a burden of that type? Maybe it was a burden placed on you by a relative, a burden placed on you by a spouse or an employer or a friend or an enemy. Have you ever had a burden? A heavy, heavy burden. This word burden in the Greek, in the New Testament Greek, is baros, baros. It means through the notation of going down. It means a weight, a load, an abundance. Through the notation of going down, something that's very, very heavy on us. A hardship, which is regarded as particularly burdensome, exhausting. The word burden in the Hebrew is masa, masa. It means a load, what is carried about with a focus on the effort needed to transport them. It means carrying, the act of transporting a burden from one place to another. That which causes hardship or distress as a figurative extension of the weariness occurring when you're carrying this load. When you're carrying this heavy load. Have you thought about what it's like to carry a burden? Have you carried a burden of that sort? Are you carrying a burden right now? Are you carrying a burden right now? You know, family, with this coronavirus that we're all still dealing with, it is a burden. And it's a heavy burden for many of us. A very heavy burden that many of us are carrying from time to time. You can even look at this particular article here out of the Orlando, Florida. This is out of clickorlando.com. This is from Tuesday a week ago. It says, Florida on Tuesday reported a low number of new infections compared to trends the state had seen over the last month, but a near record high level of new deaths. That's a burden. Just thinking about that is a burden. Being fearful about that is a burden. It says with less than 5,500 new cases, the new stat can be tied to the lack of testing after they all run testing sites. All the testing sites were closed for days due to the tropical storm Isaias. So even in the case where there is something like a tropical storm that's coming, it doesn't erase other burdens that we might go through. You know, sometimes it's good that we go through burdens alone. Sometimes it's bad that we go through burdens as a group. This coronavirus that has struck the world is a burden that we're all going through together. The entire world is going through it together. In one sense, that makes it even more scary because we're not sure when it might show up at our door or at the door of one of our loved ones. There is a bit of advice that Jesus Christ gives. Go with me over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 2. Here's a bit of advice that Jesus Christ gives, and it's going to be the focus of the Bible study tonight. It says here in Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, Christ tells us here that we should bear each other's burdens. Bear each other's burdens. And that the law of Jesus Christ is fulfilled. What law of Christ is being referred to here? Well, the law of Christ that being referred to here, one of the examples here is over in James chapter 2, verse 8. I have it all there on the screen, but you can go with me over to James chapter 2, verse 8. Keep something there in Galatians. James 2, verse 8 says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. You do well. So we see here in these two verses that bearing one another's burden fulfills the law that we love our neighbor, that we love each other, that we love each other. But also consider what it says in verse 5, here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 5. Galatians 6, verse 5 also adds this particular point. Not only should we bear one another's burden, but we have to also bear our own burden. We also have to bear our own load. It says here, for each one shall bear his own load. His own load. Now, I would ask for a show of hands, but we wouldn't be able to see each other's hands. But you can raise them either anyway. I'd like to ask you to raise your hand if you are laden down with some type of burden right now. Are you dealing with some type of burden? You're dealing with a heavy burden right now? Raise your hand. You know, you can rest assured that there are some among us in our midst who are carrying a very heavy burden right now. It may have to do with coronavirus. It may have to do with sickness. It may have to do with major family issues. It may have to do with financial issues, but I rest assured there are some of your brothers and sisters who are carrying a very heavy burden. Yet along with carrying whatever the burden is that you may or may not have, Christ tells us that we ought to bear one another's burden. One another's burden. How do we do that? That's the question for this evening. How do we bear one another's burden? What does it mean to bear one another's burden? Tonight's Bible study, I want to bring out some general points to help us to understand what it means to bear one another's burdens. What does it mean to bear one another's burdens? We'll examine this topic through the experience of one of the great patriarchs of the Old Testament. We're going to look at this through an event in the life of Moses. In the event in the life of Moses. Go with me over to Numbers. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11, beginning in verse 4. Numbers 11, beginning in verse 4. This is an interesting section to evaluate when it comes to the subject of bearing one another's burdens. A very interesting section to evaluate. And I chose this particular section. There are many other places that we could turn into the Bible to look at the importance of bearing one another's burdens and how we bear one another's burdens and the complexities with bearing one another's burdens. But I turn to this particular example because it's a very realistic example. Oftentimes, when we're laden down with burden, there persist burdens that persist for a long time, no matter what the cause might be. Given human nature, it comes with a lot of complaining. It seems that bearing burdens come with complaining. And when there does not seem to be light at the end of the tunnel, or our nature begins when we don't see an end to a situation, our nature begins to complain and become a bit irrational at times, as well as accusatory at times, forgetful at times, and even ungrateful. That's some of the things that we need to keep in mind as we're going through this very difficult time, where all of us are burdened to one extent or another. Oftentimes when we go through burdens, it comes with not only complaining, but irrational behavior, accusatory behavior, forgetfulness about the blessings that God had provided us in the past. And we can become ungrateful. Also, when burdens persist for long times, our faith can be weakened. And those around us that should be there to help us bear that burden can themselves become very discouraged. And they can become discouraging. All of these characteristics can become a part of carrying that burden, carrying a burden. Let's see what it says here, beginning here in Numbers chapter 11. In verse 4, this is a story of the children of Israel. The children of Israel had come out of Egypt and were making their way through the wilderness to the promised land. It was not easy. It was difficult. How long they were going to be there was unknown. And matter of fact, if they had an idea of how long it was supposed to be, it really got discouraging when it seems like it was going on and on and on and on with no end in sight, no improvement in sight. As a result, they became fearful. Some legitimately became hungry. Others gave into their lust for immediate rewards. They wanted the promised land and they wanted it now. And they wanted it their way. Some had legitimate burdens of other natures that they were carrying along with the burdens of going through the wilderness on the way to the promised land. See what it says here. It says here in Numbers chapter 11, verse 4, it says, "Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving." There was this mixed multitude, not all of them. There were some among them that yielded to this intense craving. And it says here, they lusted intensely. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes." That's all we have here before our eyes is this manna. You know, we're tired. We've been walking through here. Our feet are sore. They're not incredibly sore. They ought to be a lot more sore. You know, people are dying as we're going through this wilderness onto the promised land. And this mixed multitude that's among us is stirring things up and making it even more difficult than it needs to be. More difficult than it needs to be. I like to look at this mixed multitude sort of like the media. Sort of like the media. You know, yes, things are difficult. Yes, things are tough. But it seems that in the media, whatever is taking place, they try to distort. They distort the bad to make it even worse. And that's what this mixed multitude was doing. This mixed multitude was among them stirring things up, making the bad situation even worse. Now, of course, in the media, there are positive things that are being said. There are factual things that are being said. But of course, we all are very much aware that one of the purposes of media is to make money. The more people watch, the more they pay for their commercials, the more money they make. So everything has to be hyped up just a little bit more than maybe just what the plain facts report. So we have this situation here. The other thing that you have to realize in this situation is that some had legitimate burdens. Some people had legitimate burdens. Also in this mixed multitude, some were just complaining. And also in this mixed multitude, some were just following the crowd. Some were just following the crowd. This is a reality of what we're going through today. But the reality is that there was a burden. There was a burden. The focus and the marching orders for us towards others, regardless of the burden, is to bear one another's burden. To bear one another's burden. That must be our focus. That must be our desire. That must be what we focus on. Not the media. Use the media to gather information. You may have opinions on it, etc. But there are people going through a difficult time right now. There are people that are going through tough times right now. There are people that are burdened right now. And coronavirus is only a part of those burdens. Jesus Christ calls on us to make sure that we're conscious of the fact that we must bear one another's burden. So I have a number of points that I want to go through this evening with regard to bearing one another's burden. Point number one, we should make our burdens known to somebody. We should make our burdens known to somebody. Let's continue here in Numbers chapter 11, verse 10. And again, I use this example because I think it's a very realistic example. Here, Numbers chapter 11, verse 10, it says, "Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was aroused. Moses was displeased." So you see right now, right here, somebody made the fact that they were going through a burden known. A lot of folks was making the fact that they were going through a burden known. Point number one, we should make our burdens known to somebody. We should make them known to somebody. If people never said anything, if they had kept it all to themselves, or just whispered and complained about the suffering, the difficulty that they were going through, and just kind of kept it to themselves in their own bad attitude, yes, God would have known, but Moses probably would not have known unless God revealed it to him. You see, it's difficult to bear someone's burden if you don't know that they're carrying a burden. You gotta make it known. You have to make it known. It's important to make the burden known. So the first point here, we should make our burdens known to somebody. But a sub-point under that is that we need to make it known with wisdom and trust between individuals as Christian brothers and sisters. With wisdom and trust As individual Christian brothers and sisters, then we should make our burdens known. There needs to be trust. There needs to be trust. If there isn't trust, then no one's going to want to share the burdens. And then everyone is carrying the burden alone, whatever the burden might be. You see, God can read our hearts and our minds. We don't need to say anything necessarily to God with regard to our burdens for him to know what they are. But God tells us to bring our burdens before him. But he also tells us to make our burdens known so that others can help us carry those burdens. Now, it can be difficult to share burdens. It can be a difficult thing for us to do. You know, why do we shy away from sharing burdens at times? Why do we shy away from telling people the difficulties that we're going through, even within the church? Why do we shy away from that? You know, one reason may be that in society, when burdens are shared, they're often mocked as entertainment on various television shows. I mean, that's what we see in the media, particularly the drama court TV shows. You know, consider this list. Consider this list here. This is a list of 34 court TV related shows that should be helping to lift someone's burdens, but have made others' burdens a money-making agenda. They've made it entertainment. You know, here's the judge, Judge Alex, Judge Judy, jury judge, People's Court, Science Court, Street Court, Texas Justice, Day Court, Judge Jerry, Judge for Yourself, Judge John Reed, Judge Mathis, Kids Court, Medical TV Court, Power of the Attorney, Sex Court, Swift Justice of Nancy Grace, Trial and Error. It goes on and on. You know, why are all these television court programs out there? Number one, because people generally want to know about other people's business, not for the purpose of helping them, but because a part of nature is to be busybodies. But Jesus Christ calls on us not to be busybodies, but to truly help carry one another's burdens. Help carry one another's burdens. That is what we should do. You know, another reason why we need to be cognizant of carrying each other's burdens is that we should, as individuals, be trustworthy of others' burdens. We need to be trustworthy of others' burdens. Now, I'm not saying that we should tell everyone every detail of our sin, our trials, and everything that's going on in our life. But there are times and situations and difficulties that we go through that we need to find someone to help us carry that burden. And can we, as people of Jesus Christ, as sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, be individuals that others can rely on to help carry their burden? Can we be a trusted confidant? Can we be a listening ear? Can we show empathy? Even when we look at a person's burden and to us it may seem irrational, it may seem unjustified, we may not understand why, but as we'll see here with Moses, the requirement is to help carry the burden. To help carry the burden. Another point here with regard to carrying one another's burdens. We should not keep things to ourselves until we collapse under them. We should not keep things to ourselves until we collapse under them. That's also something that we may have a tendency to do. And I mention this because during this time when every burden that we normally deal with in life still persists, and then we have this coronavirus pandemic layered on top of it, It's that perfect combination to have people to begin to totally collapse, to collapse emotionally, physically, spiritually. And it's during this time that we not only need to be willing to reach out to others, but we need to be others that people can reach out to. Jesus Christ calls on us to bear one another's burdens. The last point here on this particular slide is this. It's hard to bear someone else's burden if no one feels safe in sharing their burdens. If no one feels safe in sharing their burdens, it's hard for anybody to bear or to help bear one another's burdens. But we have to make sure that we're individuals that are trustworthy. That we're individuals that are willing to give a listening ear. That we can keep it in confidence. That we're not going to become gossipers about other people's issues. That we don't become the people's court and Judge Judy and all these other television shows that we see played out on TV. Jesus Christ calls on us to bear one another's burden. But we have to make those burdens known. We have to make those burdens known to somebody. Let's look at the next point. Point number two. Bearing one another's burdens is at times unpleasant because we take a portion of the burden on as our own. Bearing one another's burdens at times is unpleasant because we take a portion of the burden on as our own. As our own. Let's continue here in Numbers. Numbers chapter 11, verse 11. It says, so Moses said to the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant, speaking of himself, and why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? You have put their burden on me. You see, the reality is that when we share other people's burden, it can become unpleasant because we do take a portion of what they're dealing with and place it upon ourselves. We should be people who are willing to lift a little bit of what that person is dealing with and put it on ourselves. And it can be unpleasant. It can be difficult. It can be challenging. And Moses was feeling that. Moses was feeling this heavy burden that was upon him, upon his shoulders. And it wasn't fun. It wasn't pleasant. But as we'll see, it was exactly what God required of him. It was what God required of him. Couple points here. Point here is that it is not always easy to bear one another's burden, even with the power of God's Holy Spirit. Even with the power of God's Holy Spirit, it's not often easy to bear one another's burdens. The people here at the time of Moses, they were crying, they were weeping, they were upset. Times were difficult from their perspective. And whether the burden was real or imagined, whether it was justified or not justified, whether it was media driven or whether it was fact based, God still required Moses to carry their burden. That's important for us to understand and remember. See, God had provided them their needs. God had provided them shoes that didn't wear out, clothes that wouldn't wear out, manna from heaven. But from their perspective, they were still burdened. And guess what? God still required Moses to help carry the burden. You see, sometimes we can talk with individuals and say, oh, you know, they're just complaining. you know, they got it made. How can they say that? You know, I've been through so much more than they have. That's not what God calls on us to do. We can, you know, counseling is one thing. Bearing someone's burden is something else. And if people are coming to us to have us help bear the burden, that needs to be our first and primary focus. Maybe counseling, maybe advice, those other things. But one of the first things we need to focus on is our willingness to bear. Our willingness to bear the burden. See, people have become very upset. And that was understandable. And they had become a little bit irrational. You see, it says here that the people remembered the fish which they ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. But now their whole being is dried up and there is nothing at all except this manna before their eyes. You know, that was somewhat irrational. That was somewhat blown out of proportion. But that was how they felt. That was their reality at the time. That was the pain and suffering that they were going through. Now, Moses could have said to them, you know, you folks are fools. Don't you put that burden on my shoulders. What melons and leeks are you talking about? You've been 400 years in slavery. Now you're free. You're talking about some melons and leeks back in Egypt. Get out of my face. You know, he. When you read through the section, you get a sense that he felt like saying that. That's what he felt like saying. But God was instructing him that he needed to bear his brother's burden. It's not always easy to bear one another's burden, even with the power of God's Holy Spirit. Their burdens become your burdens. Their concerns become your concerns. Their trials, in a sense, become your trials. If you're truly bearing someone else's burden. These are things that we really need to think about. Another point here. The burdens that are there, you share their burdens with them. You share their burdens with them. It is heavy for you because you carry it together with them. Even if their burden seems unreal, unreasonable, or distorted, you still carry the burdens with them. That is what God calls on us to do. That's the heart of love that was talked about there in Galatians. We need to truly bear one another's burdens. When we bear someone's burden, it is unpleasant. When we bear someone's burden, we take a portion of that burden on as our own. Point number three. Bearing one another's burdens requires love, emotional commitment, and spiritual strength. Bearing one another's burden requires love, emotional commitment, and spiritual strength. You know, that's not easy. That is not easy. But let's continue here in verse 12. Listen to the love, listen to the emotional commitment that God required of Moses. This is Moses speaking. And through his words, we see that Moses knew what God required of him. It says here, did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers? Let those words of Moses sink in a little bit. He says, carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers. There's a lot of love there in that sentence. Moses knew, Moses understood what God required of him. When it clicked in his mind that, yes, bear the burden, yes, this is upon you, it meant love. It meant emotional commitment. It meant spiritual strength. See, God's answer to Moses was yes. Did I conceive all these people? Yes, you did. Did I beget them that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child? Yes. And carry them all the way to the land that you swore to their fathers? God's answer was yes. Yep. Yes. As a guardian bears a suckling child. Point here. There is an emotional connection here that God expects, which goes beyond a natural bond. You see here, Moses didn't say here to carry them as a mother carries a nursing child. That's natural. He says here as a guardian carries a nursing child. That's not natural. That's not natural. This word that Moses uses here for carry is nasa, a beautiful Hebrew word. A beautiful Hebrew word. Here's a little bit of the definition of this word nasa that's used multiple times in multiple places throughout the Old Testament. It says a primitive root primarily means to build up or to support, to foster as a parent or nurse, figuratively to render, to be firm or faithful, to trust or believe, to be permanent or quiet, morally to be true or certain, hence assured, believe, bring up, establish, be faithful, of long continuance, steadfast, sure, surely, trustly, verified. A nursing, notice this, nursing father. Trust to turn to the right. To turn to the right. That goes a long way. You know, what God is saying to Moses, all those characteristics that a mother has for a nursing child, I'm expecting you to have as the guardian of these people. I'm expecting you to bear the burden just like a mother would have to pick up and carry a nursing child. Yes, Moses. Yep. That's what it's about. That's what it's about for us. That's the mindset. That's the spiritual mindset that we need to be thinking about. That's the type of individuals that we need to be. It requires love. It requires an emotional commitment. It requires spiritual strength. The question is, does the love that I have and I exhibit to my brothers and sisters in Christ reflect a father bearing a nursing child? Does it reflect that? Is that how others feel when they turn to us with a concern? Is that how others feel when they turn to us for help? You know, the imagery of a father or a guardian bearing a child is so tender, because here you get this image of this very powerful individual. In my mind, the way I see it, you know, somebody like a Hulk Hogan or somebody, you know, big, strong guy picking up this little tiny baby. and having the love and concern for that child. And you see, when you think about it from that perspective, you don't always know what to do. You always don't know what to say. But one thing that you can do, you can listen empathetically. You can show love, you can show concern for that individual. It requires spiritual strength. During these difficult times that we're going through, all of us need to be individuals that are willing to bear one another's burdens as a father bears a suckling child, as a guardian bears a suckling child. Well, you don't know all the answers. You see, a mother probably knows, 90% of the answers. Oh, he's crying because he's hungry. He's crying because he's wet. He's crying because he has a chipped nail or a tooth is coming in. I don't know why he's crying. All I can do is try to comfort. Be an empathetic ear. Those are things that God requires us to do. As we see by this definition, bearing one another's burden. Bearing one another's burden, it requires attention, it requires concern, it requires patience, tenderness, truth, quietness, love, time. It requires spiritual strength to truly bear one another's burdens. Point number four. Bearing one another's burdens is to have a burning desire that the burden is lifted by doing what we can to bear or carry it with them. Bearing one another's burden is not only the desire to have that burden lifted, but it's the concept that we want to do something to bear it. Do something to help them carry it. Let's continue here in Numbers, chapter 11, verse 13. Look what Moses says here. Moses recognizes that there's something he needs to do. He says, "Where am I to get meat to give to all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.'" Moses knew that there was something that he needed to do. It became apparent that there was something he needed to do. Now, one of the things that he did was to take that need to the Lord. He asked the Lord, where can I get the resources to help lift this burden that the people are having and experiencing? It's very important that we think about that. Point here, prayer is often not all we can do. We must pray, but prayer often or sometimes is not all that we can do. What else can I do to help bear the burden? What else is within my power to do? What else is within my wisdom to do? What else is within my trust to do? What else is within my capability to do? Along with prayer. You know, Moses desperately wanted to do something. He desperately wanted to help this burden. He desperately wanted the burden to be lifted off of them and off of himself. It was heavy. If he had the power to bring fish from heaven, he would have. He turned to the Lord. He turned to the Lord. James reminds us that there are things that we can do. You can read this on the screen or turn with me over to James chapter 2 and verse 15. James 2, verse 15. says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? What does it profit? You see, part of carrying the burden is to also think about things that we can do. Sometimes it's just giving some more time. Sometimes it's calling on the phone. Sometimes it's sending a card or a note. Sometimes it may be something very specific that we can do, depending on what the issue is, what the problem is. Sometimes it is asking a person, well, look, you know, this is above my pay grade, quote unquote. I don't know a whole lot about this particular situation. Would you mind if I, get some advice from someone else that might be able to help us with what you're going through? You know, there are oftentimes other things that we can do, other resources that we can tap into. But do so with wisdom, do so with trusting, do so with the person's acknowledgement or okay. You say, well, I don't have the time. I don't have the space. You know, that's all a part of the burden. That's what it means by taking on some of these things off of others and placing them on ourselves. As I said, it oftentimes is not pleasant. So prayer is often not all we can do. What else can we do? Another point here is that it is most often God's work to remove the burden. Our work is to help bear the burden with our brother. Our work is to help bear the burden, not to remove the burden. That's a very important thing to understand. If we, in our desire to help someone, get so involved in doing so that we think that it is our responsibility to totally remove the burden, to remove the sickness, to remove the financial issue, to solve the family problem, or to solve the marriage problem. That's not what Christ calls on us to do. Christ calls on us to help bear it, not solve it. It is God's domain to remove the burden. We can take that request to Him. Sometimes we can. Sometimes it may be something simple and we can do A, B, C, and D, and voila. But oftentimes with heavy burdens, that's not the case. Oftentimes it's holding the hand of the individual. Oftentimes it's praying with the individual. Oftentimes it's providing some advice that you hope the individual takes and uses. But we can't remove other people's burdens. That's God's domain. And we have to keep that in mind. Point number five. Bearing one another's burdens, it is a lifetime commitment. It really is. It's a lifetime commitment. Let's continue here in Numbers chapter 11, verse 14. Numbers chapter 11, verse 14, it says, I am not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, Moses speaking to the Lord, if you treat me like this, please kill me here and now if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. Now, again, the reason why I like this example is because it's so, so real. This is so, so real. Moses said, this thing is heavy. It's crushing me. I don't want to fail. I don't want to let the individual down. If it's failure, then take me out of here. That's not the attitude that Christ wanted him to have. But Moses is also honest in expressing the burden that is upon him. Moses knew that bearing the burden of this people was a lifetime commitment. It was a lifetime calling. He had to take them all the way through this wilderness. And he said, I can't do this by myself. I need help to do this. He clearly knew that he needed God's help to help bear the burden. Those who bear other people's burden, you need to take that burden that you pick up off another individual to the Lord to help you bear, to help you bear it. Our attitude should be the same as Moses, not the kill me part, not the kill me part, but the help me Lord part. The help me Lord part of Moses' complaint in carrying the burden. You see, the words, he ain't heavy, he's my brother, sometimes is not true. Sometimes he is too heavy. Sometimes the burden is too much. Sometimes it's too great. I can't carry this alone. I need help. We need help to bear the burden. At times when you carry a burden with a brother or sister, it may be too heavy for you to carry it alone. It may be too heavy for you to carry it alone. You may need help. It's a lifetime commitment because it's love. Because it's love. Final point. Final point is this. God will help us bear each other's burden. We are not alone. God will help us bear each other's burden. We are not alone. We are not alone. Let's continue here in Numbers chapter 11, verse 16. It says here, so the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and the officers over them, bring them to the tabernacle of meeting that they may stand there with you. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. It says, then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take the spirit that is upon you and will put the same upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it alone, bear it yourself alone. That you may not bear it yourself alone. How beautiful is that? You see, if we stay back, or we stay back where we began here in Numbers chapter 11, where the people were complaining and God was upset with them. Yes, God was upset with them. Yes, Moses was bothered by that. But the reality is that God recognized that either irrationally or rationally, there was a burden. And Moses realized that there was a burden. And God said, I'm going to help you bear this burden. I'm going to give you others to help bear this burden. And I am going to be involved in bearing this burden. That's a beautiful thing. Now, what's marvelous here is that up to this point, God did not eliminate the burden. We know the story. We know how it played out. But the first thing that God did before resolving the situation, because it's in his domain to resolve, what he did was provide individuals to help bear it. That's our domain. That's what we, all of us as individuals, are called to do as brothers and sisters of Christ, is to bear one another's burdens. See, God will help us bear our brother's and sister's burden. God hears your call as brothers and sisters He hears the call. And we have to keep that in mind, that one of the things that we need to do as a church, as individuals, is unite under the fact not of whether or not the burden exists or doesn't exist, or all the details and ramifications around the burdens that we're going through. The reality is that every single situation that people were going through is now layered on top of it, this pandemic. And instead of questioning whether or not it's real, whether or not people are suffering, whether or not people are frightened, whether or not people are scared, what the situation is, God says to us, bear the burden. Be the empathetic ear. You see, because in this case with Moses, the people were clearly irrational. But God nonetheless recognized the fact that there was a burden. There was a burden. Next point here. It is when God helps us to carry one another's burden that the psalm becomes true. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. That's when the song becomes true. That's when it becomes true. So just a summary here. You know, I hope that we understand a little better the importance of bearing one another's burdens. That we understand the emotional connection, the emotional requirement, the spiritual requirement to reach out to one another, to love one another, not to judge each other, but to love one another and to reach out to one another, and how critical it is for each of us to not only share our burdens with wisdom, with understanding, but also we have to each of us be individuals that are willing to bear one another's burdens. So to bear one another's burden so fulfills the law of Christ, Galatians 6, verse 2, that we should make our burdens known to somebody. Bearing one another's burdens is at times unpleasant because we take a portion of their burden on as our own. Bearing one another's burden requires love, emotional commitment, and spiritual strength. Bearing one another's burden is to have a burning desire that the burden be lifted by doing what we can to bear or carry it with them. Bearing one another's burden is a lifetime commitment. God will help us bear one another's burden. We are not alone. So, brethren, let us try to have in our heart and our mind the desire to bear one another's burden. With God's help and the helping hands and prayers of each other, he ain't heavy. He ain't heavy. He is my brother.